That's right. Like what pastor say, I'm the youth pastor, so I'm youthful this morning. And I'm going to make you youthful. Amen, church. We are going to be a young church. Amen. We are young at heart. And I'm really, really excited. You know, today we are not just gathered here. We are not just gathered here as a believer because it's a Sunday morning. You know, it's an obligation for us to be in church as a believer. Church, I want all of us to understand this. We are not gathered here because we need to. We get together here because it's a privilege. And you know, we gather in Calvary City Church. We are not gathering under the name of Calvary City Church. We are not gathering in the name of Pastor Rajan. We are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And therefore, this is why the Bible says that when two or three are gathered in His name, He will be in the midst of us. He will be in the midst of us. So I just want to release this word for all every single one of you in this place. I do not know what you're going through. I do not want to pretend that I know what you're going through. But can I just let you know something, church? God knows whatever that you need. God knows it, whether it's it a healing, whether it's a breakthrough, whether it's a prayer that we've been praying for a very long time. And you're asking God, God, would you just come true for me? But yet has seen God coming true for you. Can I just encourage you, church, that God will come true for you? It is a certain thing. How do I know this? Is it because I'm just seeing it because I just want to encourage you, church? No. But see, let's look at the Word of God. The Word of God will never lie. God cannot lie. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God, everybody say, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. You know, church, every single one of us, we are limited in some sort of way. We are limited in our resources. We are limited in our energy. We are limited in our finances, in our wealth, and even our health and our time. But how many of you know that God is an unlimited God? He's the God that makes the impossible possible for us. That's the God that we serve. So when He says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, He will supply all our needs according to His riches, not our riches, we can be assured that whatever that we are going through, church, whatever that we need, even though sometimes we do not know what to say when we come into prayer, even though we do not know how to pray in prayer times, can I just let you know that you can be rest assured to know that God hears your cry. God hears your prayer. He knows what you're going through and He will deliver you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. So I just want to encourage all of you that are just going through a tough time right now. You know, the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, He is in here and He's for you and He's fighting for you. Don't fight your battles alone, church. And I just really felt in my heart this morning, there's somebody here in this place, you need to hear this. You need to hear this, that God is not angry with you, church. God is not angry with you. No matter what you have done in the past, no matter what mistakes you have done that you feel is unredeemable, unforgivable. But can I just let you know that because of what He has done on the cross 2,000 years ago, today we can stand boldly in the grace of God and proclaim, I am saved, I am redeemed, I am whole, I am a child of God. Somebody say amen. So therefore, church, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't feel like you're a victim. You are a victor in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, church, I just want to just quickly just jump into the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word of God? Are you ready for the Word of God? I entitled my message today very quickly. I don't have much time today. I entitled my message, The Greatest Commission. The Greatest Commission. I believe many of us sitting here as believers, we would have probably heard of the Great Commission, right? We have heard of the Great Commission, and probably some of you here who are very new to us or new to Christianity, you might not know what is the Great Commission. The Great Commission can actually be found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that is the Great Commission, right? However, I want all of us to understand this. You know, this commission is not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders, for people that are standing on stage. But this commission is for every single one that has believed in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in our heart, that we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. We are called to fulfill this great commission. However, today I'm not touching on this. However, do you know that before the great commission, there is a greater commission? Oh, I'm going to bring a revelation to you today. All right, are you ready, church? That before the great commission, there is a greater commission. And I would like to call this the greatest commission for every single believer. Let's look at Mark chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. Can we have it on the screen? Then he says, then he appointed 12 that he might be with him. Everybody say, be with him. Come on, everybody say, be with him. Be with him that he might send them out to preach. Verse 15. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Church, I want all of us to understand that before Jesus even appointed the disciples to go, they were all first appointed to be with him. See, there is a significant difference. We need to understand that we are not just called to just do the works of Christ, to follow after his footsteps, to make disciples of all nations, heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. I mean, all that we need to do as believers, as children of God. But more than that, do you know that our primary assignment, our primary call, our primary focus is to first be with Jesus? That is the greatest commission of a believer. That is the greatest commission of a believer. In fact, Jesus, you know, we look at the examples of Jesus. Jesus, when he was living on this earth, his main assignment wasn't just to heal the sick. It wasn't just to cast out demons. It wasn't just to raise the dead. I mean, all the miracles, signs, and wonders he did. But more than that, if we look, we study the Word of God, most of his time, Jesus was spending investing in the 12 disciples. He was investing in them, growing them, nurturing them, loving them, encouraging them, teaching them, guiding them. Because you know why? That is the primary call for every single believer in this place to be in the relationship and in a journey with Jesus. So if you're sitting here, you're thinking that we just need to go and make disciples and do not have a relation with Jesus, it's not going to work, church. It's not going to work. We need to first be with Jesus. Only we can do the works of Jesus. We all want to grow and to become like Jesus every single day. But how can we be more like Jesus if we don't spend time in his presence? Before we are appointed, church, we need to first be anointed. Before we are first appointed, we need to first be anointed. How can you be anointed if you don't spend time with him? If you don't be with him? You know, it's impossible. You're just doing works. You're just doing assignments and tasks without a relationship, without a purpose. It would just be works, and you know, it's like whatever things that people are doing, right? There is no direction. There is no vision. There is no heart behind it, because it's just works and tasks, works and tasks, works and tasks. But Jesus has not called us to just works and tasks. He has called us to be in a relationship, in a journey to be with him. We become like the one we behold, church. The more you spend time in his presence, the more you become like him. The more you start speaking like him. The more you start thinking like him. In your speech, in your action, in your decision making, in every single thing that you do, you start becoming like Jesus. How many of you want to become like Jesus? Can I see a wave of hand? If you don't want to become like Jesus, there's something wrong with you here. Later, come to the altar, okay? No, I want that. Because our main calling and our main assignment isn't just to preach the gospel. I mean, that it is important. That is so, so, so important. But before that, there's something that comes first before the first. There is something that comes first before the first, which is to be in his presence, spending time with Jesus. You know, this is the year of greater harvest, right? How many of you know that this year, the theme of the church is greater harvest? You know, if you are here with me, can you nod your head? At least I know that you are with me. You know, the theme of this year is Greater Harvest for year 2022. And as I was praying that day, the Lord clearly told me, greater harvest cannot take place unless there is greater consecration. Greater harvest cannot take place unless there is greater consecration. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, it says, Joshua said to his people, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Everybody say wonders. Wonders among you. And the wonders isn't just a breakthrough in whatever that you're praying. This is what, how I know. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I'm going to link these two verses. Matthew chapter 6, 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all things. Not just some things. Not just the things that you're praying for. Not just the things that you're struggling in. But all things. Whether you know it or you don't know it, all things will be added unto you. So when we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, before anything else, you are my primary focus. You are my primary assignment. You are my primary calling, that I will get to spend time with you and to be with you before I do anything else. Church, God is going to take you to leaps and bounds beyond what you can ask or imagine. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3, it says, call unto me. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you. Church, you're not going to show God anything. He's going to show you. And I will show you great and mighty things. Which one? Which you do not know. What you have seen with your eyes, what you have heard with your ears, those are just probably 10% of what God can do. But what your eyes have not seen, what your ears have not heard, God is going to add into your life. God is going to show it unto you because you call unto Him, because you choose to abide in His presence, because you choose to be with Him before you do anything else. You are first anointed before you're appointed, church. And in order for us to see a greater move of God in Calvary City Church or even in our nation, Malaysia, we need to first have develop a greater hunger, a greater need for Jesus in our personal prayer life. Not just in church, God, I want to see you more. God, I want to see you more. But then on Monday, right up to Friday, we just get busy and busy and busy and forget about God. But then on Saturday and Sunday, we say, God, I want you more. God, I worship you. God, I want to see you. Church, it doesn't work that way. If you want to see a breakthrough in your life, this is the key for your breakthrough. If you want to see a breakthrough in your life, you got to start spending time in your secret place with the Lord. Because can I just let you know something, church? Your secret place breakthroughs will bring your public place victories. Your secret place breakthroughs will bring public place victories. And for me, one of my greatest desires as a youth pastor is to see every single young person encounter the Lord and be marked by God for the rest of their lives. Whether it's in Calvary City Church or whether it's in Youth Outbreak or in Malaysia or the ends of the world, that is my greatest desire. And that's exactly what's happening in our youth services, church. Can I just share with you something? That's exactly what's happening in Youth Outbreak right now. Last Friday, we have our welcome back party. You know, like young people, we thought like welcome back party is just going to be fun and games and chilling and, you know, all those kind of fun vibe. But you know what? More than anything else, more than the nice decorations and the lighting, more than the food and the fun and the games and the fellowship, God, the presence of God, my God, the presence of God was so evident in our youth series. Starting from last Friday, the first Friday when we had our welcome back party until last Friday. Why? Because we chose to say, God, more than anything else, we want you. More than anything else, we want to be with you. And we are not here for the friends. We are not here for the fellowship. We are not here for the fun. We are not just here for the food. But we are here for the presence of God. And when you have that kind of hunger and that kind of need for God in your heart, let me tell you something, church. God will come true for you. God will meet you in wherever you are at right now. Sometimes we feel like we need to go into the presence of God. We need to say, Abba, come Lord, I need you, Lord. But let me tell you something, church, we don't have to. We don't have to run to church and just wait for God. You can do that in your secret place. Where no one is looking. Where no one is watching you. Because that's the most real you can ever get in the presence of God. So I believe, church, even as you're sitting here today, if we would answer the greatest commission before the great commission, we will start seeing that it is not just a duty, it is not just a work that we need to carry out as believers, but it is a privilege to talk about our Savior. It is our privilege to talk about our lover. You know how much He loves you, church? How much He loves you? You know, 80% of our youth right now, let me tell you something, church. 80% of our youth right now have not encountered God. They are new. They just graduated from Champs of Christ. You know, they are little children, 13 years old, just graduated. And now they just came into youth break. 80% of them have never had an encounter with God. They know about Jesus, just like some of us, but we have never had that encounter that marks us for life. But you know what happened last Friday and the welcome back party? Because we chose to pursue after Jesus, because we just chose to be with Him, 80% of them, almost, right? Almost every single, in fact, not almost, every single one of the young people encountered God. Some of them felt the love of God for the first time. Some of them heard the voice of God for the first time. In fact, one of the young men, he told me, I saw God brought me to heaven. Another young man told Pastor Christine, I saw Jesus standing in front of me. These are the youths that have never encountered God before, but because they chose to be in the presence of God, the Lord shows up. The Lord shows up. And church, let me just share with you something this morning. We are not here because of an accident. We are not here because it's a coincidence, church. We are here simply because He wants us here. It's a divine appointment. It is not an accident that you are here. Oh, I come to church on Sunday. I just drive my car, because service starts at 9:30, right? So I need to be at 9:30, you know. No, it's not a routine. God wanted you here today so that you can hear that because if you choose to be in the presence of God, He will be with you. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Let's look at David's life for an instance. Let's look at David's life for an instance. I believe every one of us are very familiar with the story of David, right? How many of you are familiar with the story of David? Can I see a show of hands? You know, I don't want to be the only one speaking here. Let's have some interaction. Don't make me feel awkward and shy, okay? Anyway, so David's life, many of us remembered him as the shepherd boy becoming a king, right? Many of us remember him as the man that slayed Goliath, right? Many of us remembered him as a man after God's own heart. We remember of all the good things of David has done, of who David is. But we rarely actually remember David as a sheep keeper. Oh, we always remember all the glorious thing, the majestic thing, the powerful things, but we forget the little things. David was a sheep keeper. No, and if you look at David's life, you know, his initial assignment by his father was to tend the sheep in his father's house. You know, while his brothers were all sent for war, you know, he was called to be with sheep. You know, many of us are called to be a brother's keeper. But David was very special. He's called a sheep keeper. He's called a sheep keeper. We are called the brother's keeper and sister's keeper. He's called the sheep keeper. And of course, if you know the story of David, I'm not going to go into it. You know, the prophet Samuel came into Jesse's house and he was looking for a man to be anointed as king. And every single one of them, all the sons of Jesse except David, stood out. And in front of prophet Samuel, and prophet Samuel went to every single one of them, laid their hands, nope, not this one. Laid their hands, nope, not this one. Yup, you might be strong, but God did not choose you. Every single one of them, until prophet Samuel had to ask Jesse, do you have any more sons left? Is that all? And only Jesse remembered, oh, I got one more son, love. I hope, parents, you don't do this. Okay? I got one more son, love. He's in the field. Oh, I'm going to call him right now. And then when, of course, you know the story, when David came, the Lord spoke to Prophet Samuel and said, this is the one that's going to be anointed as king. This is the chosen one that will be anointed as the king of Israel. But here's my next thought. After David was anointed as king, did he start reigning as a king? Did he start ruling as a king? Did he start making decisions as a king? Did he start making some formal decisions for the nation? No. What did David do? What did David do? David went back to his initial assignment. David went back to the field. David went back tending sheep. Because you know why? I believe this so strongly in my heart, church. Because I believe that David knew that it's not just about tending sheep in the house, in the father's house. Because he may be tending real sheep right now, but he knows in the coming days, he's going to tend the sheep of the Lord's house. Come on, are you here with me, church? He knew. He knew that he wasn't just supposed to be tending sheep. It wasn't just an assignment. It was a calling. It wasn't just a job, a task. It was a calling. And most of the time when David was in the field, you know, David was found worshiping the Lord. He was found spending time with the Lord with his harp and just worshiping him. And you know, church, I just want to share with you a revelation. I want to share with you a revelation. David was first anointed by the Lord in the fields before he was even anointed by Prophet Samuel. It is in the wilderness. It is in the wilderness, in the valley lows, tending sheep. That's where David cultivated his intimacy with the Lord. You know, church, every single one of us, we can experience God when we are in the mountaintop. You know, it's very easy to experience God in the mountaintop. But it's only in the valley we learn and grow in intimacy with Him. So don't discount what God is doing, church, right now. Whatever that you're going through, don't discount what God is doing in your life right now. Some of you have been praying prayers. There have been years and years and years, and you're still waiting for God to come through for you. Can I have the worship team, please? Very quickly. You know, I'm just going to share with you a very quick testimony. You know, we may not understand whether it's God moving or God speaking or what, but can I just inform you and let you understand something? Even just now, we were seeing Waymaker, right? Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, He is still working. He is still working. You know, 2 Mondays ago, you know, I was just spending time with the Lord, and I don't know what I was doing in the toilet, either showering or washing the floor or something like that. And suddenly the Lord spoke to me so clearly as if somebody was speaking to me side by side. I heard the voice of the Lord so clearly. Today is the day of salvation. I got shocked. I was like, what? Today is the day of salvation. I was like, what? And then immediately I had an impression in my heart. I had an impression in my heart that Grandpa, Joyce's grandpa, is going to get saved today. I just had an impression in my heart. And I ran out of the bathroom. And I called Joyce. Suddenly, as I called Joyce, her phone ring. And she was talking to the father. And the father said, Grandpa has not come to your house yet. He's going to come to your house now. Okay, we're bringing Grandpa to your house now. And I was like, ho, 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 ho. I do not know God's plan. But God knows His plan. God knows His plan, His methods, His will. And therefore, I was just like, oh my God, it's coming. It's coming. Today is the day of salvation. I didn't tell Joyce. I didn't tell Joyce what the Lord spoke to me. And true enough, when Grandpa came, he saw our house and, you know, for the first time, he was talking to us. Suddenly, I had an impression in my heart. I need to tell Grandpa about Jesus. I need to tell Grandpa about Jesus. You know, he's suffering with a certain kind of condition right now. And I just told him, Grandpa, as old as you are, or some of you say, as young as you are, he's 77 years old. You know, and he has yet known Jesus. He has yet accepted Jesus. He has yet experienced God before. And I told Grandpa, Grandpa, the Lord loves you, Grandpa. The Lord really, really loves you. And if you were to open up your heart today and just give Jesus a shot, just give Jesus an opportunity to come into your heart. There is nothing for you to lose, Grandpa. You are 77 years old. You're 70 years old. There's nothing to lose. You've seen it all. But you know what? More than seeing it all, there is still a future for you. There is still hope in you. Because as long as you're living, there is still a purpose that God wants you to fulfill. So I told him, Grandpa, as old as you are, you're now 77 years old. I challenge you today. I challenge you. Would you accept Jesus and invite Jesus into your heart? Give him a shot. Let him come into your heart and change your life. Before I can even say finish my words, he said, yes. He looked at me and said, yes. And I said, Grandpa, can I lead you to the sinner's prayer? Can I just pray with you and invite Jesus into your heart? And he started closing his eyes and repeat after me. And on that day, Grandpa accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know what? In my heart, I felt like I need to go further than that. You know, sometimes you just have an urge in your heart. You just felt that nudging from the Spirit to do something even more. And that day, I just asked Grandpa, Grandpa, do you want to have an encounter with Jesus? Do you want to have an experience with Jesus? You can experience God. It doesn't mean that you need to go to church. No, even right now in my house, you can experience God. Do you want to? And he said, yes. And he just closed his eyes. And we started praying. A simple prayer. Lord, would you just come and love Grandpa right now? Nothing else, church. Not some bombastic prayer. Not some 24/7 fasting and prayer. Shadarabasan, I know. Many of us are guilty of that. I can see that in your face. But you know what? We just say, Lord, would you just come and love Grandpa? And that moment, everybody say, that moment. That moment. The presence of God just filled Grandpa. Filled Grandpa so much that tears started flowing from his eyes. And after our prayer, I just asked him, Grandpa, what did you feel? Grandpa, what did God do to you? You know what he did? He was sitting down and he stood up. He stood up and said, I feel God in me. He put his hand on his chest. I feel God inside of me. Come on, somebody give glory to God. A man that's 77 years old, that's never encountered God before, never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, accepted Christ that day and encountered God that day. You know, church, every single one of us here, if we were just to choose to be with Jesus, all these things can happen in our life. Whatever prayer that you came here with, whatever need, whether it's a need in healing, whether it's a need in miracles, whether it's a need in your finances, in restoration of your family or your marriage or in any relationship, can I just let you know something? If you were to choose to just surrender at the feet of Jesus and not focus on that and just be with Jesus, He is the answer. Don't look for answers in the presence of God. He is the answer. Don't try searching. Don't try digging. Just come as you are. Surrender your heart and the Lord will minister to you. So for all of us that wants to start on this journey but do not know how, I just have very quickly just 3 points which have been just hanging there for a while. Just 3 points, church. Very quick. Number one, start small. Start somewhere. Don't despise humble beginnings, church. Because your small step of obedience will bring great breakthrough. Number two, stay committed. Be consistent. Whether it's just 20 minutes a day or whether it's just 5 minutes a day, start somewhere. Be committed. And say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Lord, I want to be with you. And let me tell you something. We are not here for the 100-meter sprint. We are here for a marathon. We are in it for the long run. We are not here for the short while, all right? And thirdly, enjoy the process. Enjoy the process with Jesus. Don't endure. We are called to enjoy Him, not to endure Him. Spending time with God should never be an obligation. but it should always be a privilege. So just these three things. Just these three things. If you can remember, if you do not know where to start, start small. Stay committed and enjoy the process in Jesus. The decisions that you make today will determine the stories you tell tomorrow. So can we all just rise to our feet right now? And I just felt like some of us, we need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. Maybe we have been so tired in serving, in doing, and giving, and working. It's been a while since we actually spend time and be with Him. I want all of us all across this place, just close your eyes wherever you are right now. Let this moment just be with you and Jesus alone. And I want you to make an altar right in front of you. I'm not going to call for an altar call. You make an altar right in front of you and make a fresh commitment to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to start small. I want to stay committed and I want to enjoy you, Lord Father, from today onwards. Come on, all across this place, open up your mouth, lift up your hands and make a fresh commitment to the Lord. If you know that this message is speaking to you, is ministering to you, I want you to answer the call that God is calling you right now. He's calling you right now. Why don't you just respond to Him right now in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Come on, make a fresh commitment. Wherever you are, make a fresh commitment in Jesus' name. All of us, this place. Come on, why don't you just reach out to heaven? Just lift up your hands. Let me just bless you. Father, we just thank you for every single one of us here that are present in this place and are on our online services, God. Father, I just declare that every single one of them will have such an encounter with you starting from today onwards, Lord. Even as we have made a fresh commitment to answer to the greatest commission is to be with you. Father, I ask of your love and your presence to be so real upon every single one of us. I declare this over your people. They are highly favored. They are deeply loved and they are tremendously and abundantly blessed. I pray for all those that will be traveling during this time. Lord, you will protect them. Lord, you will watch over them. Let them have a good time with their family members and that Jesus, you will be glorified in this season. We thank you in Jesus' most precious name. We ask and we pray and the church of God say, Amen.